Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Shari learning. It is the final Shari Shir of Tafshin Pei Beis. Baruch Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Kochos and the Chachma Bina and Das and the Cheshek and the ability to learn through another year together. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasto is not something that we should ever take for granted. And all of our learning that emanates from this shir and our avoda that emanates from this shir should continue to be a zechira letova and an aliyah neshama letova for Miriam Fun, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the neshama merit a zechus aliyah and the merit of the shir. And we also thank the Fun family very, very much for their continued commitment and unwavering dedication to this shir, lezecher nishmas, their mother, Allah HaShalom. So it is the last year of the year. Just a calendar announcement. We are going to be resuming in-person learning after the Chagim. So next week it's Tzom Gedalia, but we learn. If you recall, we've done in the past. We've learned that after Asar B'Tavis by 8:30, everyone's going to have eaten. It's going to be on Zoom next week. But, and then after we break, and then October the 19th, which is after the Chagim, we will be resuming in person with the Zoom option. So the Zoom option will remain for those who cannot attend for whatever reason in person. But if you are interested in joining us in person, we'll be resuming in Shari. Okay, we have Shir tonight, Shir on the 28th. Then we break for Yom Tov. And then after the Chagim, we begin Be'ezer Hashem in person with Zoom option as well. Okay, so let's get into our learning. Okay, so we are talking about Ratzon Hashem. We had over the past few weeks very interesting learning into, oh my gosh, this is the cutest thing. Okay, Jody Kofsky is here. She just wrote back, Baruch Hashem, thank you, exclamation mark. So Jody Kofsky actually joins us, if some of you are not aware of that. She joins us from, where is she? She's right there. She's saying hello to everybody. Everyone say hello, Jody. Is it Sydney? Where exactly are you? You could type it on the thing. Melbourne. Are you typing? So Jody's joining us from very far away. She's going to tell us where she's joining us from, which city, I think, if you want to post on it. Sydney, that's what I said first. Okay, so from Mamash all the way around the world. Look what Zoom learning has done, Baruch Hashem. We have opened up. It is a global-based medrash. But Jody wrote, so actually, Jody, someone just emailed me from, no, Joanna, you're really not the farthest. Joanna, dear, you're in Westchester. It doesn't compare to Australia. Someone actually, Jody, just emailed me through my website. She had a question for me about it. She listens to my share about 9. She's also from Australia, but I wasn't going to do Jewish geography. I figured that's like saying from someone to Canada, do you know someone else from Canada? So I didn't know that. I didn't ask her if she knows you. Anyway, so my point is that, oh, Jody sent me the cutest email, something about a different shear, and then she wrote, P.S. from the land that brought you corn thins. And I was really smiling because I went to look at the corn thin package, and it says made in Australia. And it was really, really cute. You really, really got a smile. Okay, so we had a few classes on this idea of not being satiated totally, of not eating to soveya, but recognizing that we should be satiated with Yerushamayim, fear of God, and learn restraint. And we're not talking about starving ourselves. We're not talking about wasting food. We're not talking about being unhealthy. But we are talking about being physically and spiritually healthy, eating what we need, but not eating to the point of full satiation. And we spent a number of weeks on that. We are now going back to actually the Sefer. I believe tonight, please Hashem, B'li Neder, I plan to finish the chapter we are in. Remember, we were talking about a lot about food and a lot about Ratzon Hashem. If you remember, the Mechaber was speaking about, the author was speaking about Ratzon Hashem. Oh, Nancy, you joined. Nancy wasn't sure if she was going to be able to join us. Nancy, I'm glad you were able to join us this evening. Okay. Our will is to do your will. Our ratzon is to do Hashem's ratzon. If the soul would not contain any element of Hashem's will, if your soul, if your neshama had no element of God's will, one would never be able to escape the will of I, to accept the will of Creator. He puts I in capital letters and quotation marks. So there's the will of the I. What do I want? I need, I feel, I have. And then there is the ratzon of Hashem. If the soul would not contain any element of Hashem's will, excuse me, you would never be able to escape your will to accept the will of the Creator. But because there's already some expression of Hashem's will deep in the soul, even if you don't feel it, even if it's covered up, even if you think your whole life is what I want, really, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the neshama, the pasuk in Iyov tells us is a chelek alokai mimal. The soul is a portion of God from above. So automatically, There's open windows. The airplane, did anyone hear an airplane, or it's not bothering you? Not a problem. Okay, fine. So in the soul, there is already a deep expression of Hashem's will in the soul, and therefore one can enter Hashem's will. Every Jew has an inner sense of our will is to do your will. That's a quote from Maseches Brachos. What Chazal say is Ritzoneinu la'asos Ritzonecha. What we really want is to do wrong. That's where we have a principle in halacha, that there are times that you can force a person to do something that they don't want. The expression is kofin oso, adra omer rotze ani. You force the person to do something until he says, I want. Now, if you force the person to do something, how could he say, I want? Kofin oso, adra omer rotze ani. You force him and he says, I want. But he doesn't really want. You just force him to do something. So do you want it? So the answer is, Rav Salvechik, and others speak about it, but I've learned this from Rav Salvechik, the answer is that deep inside the person, his will is really to do what Hashem wants. So when you force him, what you're forcing is not his will. You're forcing the Yetzer Hara, the outer layers, the negative forces that want him not to do God's will. You're forcing them away. Kofin oso, you force him, you force away the externality, Adcha Omer, until his inner essence says, Rotze Ani, I really want, because every Yid really wants to do the Ratzon of Hashem. What we don't want is to do the external, but the external gets in the way. I'm going to quote Minyani Diyoma. It is, of course, Mamish, a few days after Tafshin Pei Beis, a few days away from Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to quote from the Sefer. I've been quoting it from a number of Shirim. I really enjoy this book/Sefer Insights Narratives very, very much. It's called Yamim Noraim with the Magid, Stories and Insights from L3 Yom Kippur, Rabbi Pesach Krom. So he tells the following story in this Sefer, which I think illustrates this idea that deep inside every Jew is really what Hashem wants, and just sometimes the external gets in the way. Okay? Rav Shlomo Wolbe, the renowned mashgiach and musar leader, the great Alei Shur, gave a shmuz, a musar shmuz, a few weeks after the 1967 Six-Day War. And in this shmuz, he spoke about the Pintel Yid, the spark of Emunah, the spark of Jewishness, if you will, that lies deep within the heart of every Jew. Even if you can't see it, every Jew has within himself a spark of Jewishness. He's part of Klal Yisrael. As long as he doesn't separate himself from the Klal, he has that spark of Yehadus and Judaism in him. I'm going to interrupt Rav Pesach Krohn, who's quoting Rav Wolbe, for a minute. I was listening. Rabbi Zavlov said something very interesting that I never heard him say before. So I've heard Rabbi Zavlov say before, Tzibur, Al Tirfosh Min Tzibur, Chazal say in Perkei Avos, do not separate from the assembly or from the community. Tzibur stands for Tzadik Beinoni Rasha. Tzadik is the righteous, Beinoni is the middle guy, the Rasha is the wicked person. As long as all Jews come together, then the Klal is judged favorably. Tzadik Beinoni Rasha, Tzibur. We are all based on the merits of each other, and the power of the Klal, and the power of Achdus, and not separating from the assembly, brings us up for a favorable judgment. But he said something I never heard him say before. That I heard him say, and I've quoted it before. The Pasuk tells us, Tzadik Katamar Yefrach, Ke'erez balavonan yiska. Tzadik, we say Friday night in our davening, tzadik katamar yifrach. A tzadik sprouts, flourishes, blossoms like a palm tree. So this is also, he didn't relate it to Sukkos, but it also relates to Sukkos because the lulav comes from the palm tree. He said to me, so interesting, tzadik katamar yifrach. Why is the tzadik compared to a palm tree? So he said, a palm tree has dates, fruit, one of the simanim of Rosh Hashanah, the simanim melta. The dates are sweet and their food, they represent the tzaddikim. The palm tree has the leaves. The leaves, you don't eat them, they don't have a flavor, but they're not good, they're not bad, they're neutral. Those are the beinoni. They become the cover of the sukkah, they can be. And then you have thorns. The palm tree, if you've ever looked, you've been in Eretz Yisrael or in Florida, I don't know if they have palm trees in Australia. Do they have palm trees in Australia? But the palm trees have prickles. They have thorns also. Those represent the Rasha'im. Rabbi Zavlov says that Klal Yisrael is compared to a palm tree. Tzadik Katamar Yifrach. We have the fruit, the dates, which are equal to the tzadikim, the righteous. They have sweetness. They have flavor. They have nutrients. They're one of the Simanei Milta on Rosh Hashanah. Wait, what am I saying? They're one of the Shiva Saminim. He didn't say that. One of the Shiva Saminim, the seven blessed species of produce of Eretz Yisrael. Then you have the palm tree, the leaves. The leaves are in the middle. We don't eat them. They're not a source of food. They don't smell. They don't taste. They're not bad. They're not good. Those represent the Jews who are Beinoni, the middle of the road. He's not terrible. He's not a tzaddik. He's a partial yid. And then you have the thorns of the palm tree. The thorns represent the Rasha'im, the wicked. Rabbi Zevlev says, tzaddik katamar yifrach, the righteous blossom like a palm tree. As long as all yidden stick together, we're grouped under the umbrella of tzaddik. As long as one Jew does not separate from the klal, then they all work in tandem to benefit each other. The palm tree obviously needs the thorns, or Hashem wouldn't have put them there. It needs the leaves, or God wouldn't have caused them to grow. And it needs the dates, because that's the fruit, and that's one of the Shiva Saminim. The Tamarim, the Devash of the Shiva Saminim is Devash Tamarim, Rashi says back in Parshas Kisavu. So when they all stick together, each one benefits each other, and you have a beautiful tree. And that's why Klal Yisrael is compared to a palm tree, a tamar. Because when we stick together, tzaddikim, beinonim, and rasha'im, fruit, leaves, thorns, everything has a purpose, and every part of the klal, every part of the tree, benefits from the other part. When one thing stands on its own, so then you've separated and you don't have those forces that work together to build us up. I thought that that was very interesting. The last time I heard him say Tzadik Beinoni Rasha, I never heard this about the palm tree before. I just thought that that was very, very beautiful. And also, he said Tzadik Beinoni Rasha, but Tzibur is spelled with a Vav. Tzadi Beis Vav Resh. So I always thought it was Tzadik Beinoni Rasha without the Vav. Written Chaser. But no, he said the Vav is necessary. It's the Vav HaChibur. The Tzadik. Tzadi, Beinoni, the middle of the road guy, Beis, Rasha, you need the Vav. As long as the Rasha has the Vav HaChibur, he connects to the Beinoni and connects to the Tzadik, he's counted along with them. So you don't take off the Vav, you don't write Tzibur, I know there's the Yud, he didn't address Yud. Maybe Yud, I'm thinking Shem Hashem, that's our Sadibos, Yud represents the Yud, then the Hey, then the Vav, then the Hey. So you see, you have all elements coming together, Tzadik, Beinoni, Rasha, when he connects himself, Vav HaChibur, the Vav connection, to the other components of Klal Yisrael, then the whole Klal stays together. And then we are Taka judge, Tzadik Katamar Yefrach. And not only that, we become like one of the Shiva Saminim, which is the seven blessed species of Eretz Yisrael. We become on the highest level of Kedusha. We're brought as Bikurim. There's nothing more beautiful. The frond is used as the lulav. The leaves are used to cover the sukkah. The fruit is brought as Bikurim. And it's so beautiful, but it's only when we all stick together. I thought it was just Gevaldik. Why did I even go into that? I happened to hear that today. Today. Because it was only 18 minutes and I had like a 12-minute drive. So I was able to listen to, oh, that's nice, Joanna. The Yud in the Tzibur, Yud is Gematria 10. That's so nice. Beautiful. The Yud in Tzibur, I said perhaps it's Shem Hashem. When all Jews stand together, then the Ribbono Shel Olam is there. We know that Matan Torah, Kish Echad, Belev Echad. So maybe the Yud Hashem Hashem. But Joanna said something very nice. Yud is Gematria 10. A minion made up of 10 Jews. And you don't ask him when he comes in, are you the God of Hador? Are you the simple Amaretz, you know, I don't know, water drawer, like Moshe says in next week's parasha, show of Meimecha. Everyone comes together and you can count for a minion. Very, very, very nice. So Tzadik Beinoni Urasha, the righteous, the middle of the road, and Vav HaChibur, the Vav of connection, the Rasha. When we stick together, we have the koach to make a minion. Very, very nice. You know, it's sad. 9 Gedolei Adar can't make a minion. But 9 Gedolei Adar and 1 Hamaretz can bring down the Shechina. Beautiful, Joanna. So Yud is for the minion that makes up the Tzibur that brings down the Shechina. Very, very nice. Very nice. Okay, so why did I start talking about this? Because what I just read in Rabbi Pesach Kron is that the Pintel Yid, the spark of Amunah that lies deep within the heart of every Jew. And I thought that this idea of Tzadik Beinoni Rasha, that means that the Beinoni and the Rasha, the middle of the road guy, and the, like he's the Parv guy. You know, there's the Mahadrin, there's the Treif, and then there's the Parv. But really, they're all Yidden. They're all Jews. And they all come together, and each one has a spark of Yahadus in him. No matter how far away he seems, he has a spark of Yahadus in him. Okay? Why did I go to here in the first place? Because our author, our Mechaber, is speaking about the fact that even when our soul is covered up by layers and layers of the I, the reality is that we all have Ratzon Hashem deep within inside of us. We all really want to do what God wants. Nobody really wants to be a sinner. we got confused, we got frightened, we got thrown off the path. But deep inside, like the author said, Ritzoneinu la'asos ritzonecha, our will is to do your will. So now I'm going to the story, after that insight from Rabbi Lef, this beautiful story from Rabbi Pesach Krom. Rav Shlomo Walby Zatzal, Ali Shur, the renowned mashgiach and Musar leader, gave a shmuz a few weeks after the 1967 Six-Day War. He spoke about this idea of the pintaliyad, the spark of faith, the spark of yahadus, Jewishness, that lies deep within the heart of every Jew. He related that during the Six-Day War, an Israeli naval ship was targeted by an Egyptian warship. The Israeli ship was sinking, and all of the soldiers' lives were in danger. Even the non-religious soldiers, were shouting the Shema Yisrael, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God, the Lord is one, as they feared impending death. They looked into the depths of their heart and they called out to Hashem in this moment of dire need. A bacha requested permission to ask a question. This is a Musar Shmuz, okay? So Rav Walby is telling over this Shmuz, and a bacha in the yeshiva asks a question. Just have to turn the page. His question startled all those assembled. And the bacha said, the boy in yeshiva said, those sailors who were spared from death, who found Hashem in their moment of terror, did they put on tefillin the next morning? Rav Walby was taken back by the audacious question. He paused for a moment, and then he answered it with a wise insight. All who were present remembered. You experienced Yom Kippur, he said to this bacher. You are a changed person. You are serious and introspective. At the end of Ne'ilah, the holiest day of the year, the culmination of this 40-day period, you shouted, Hashem hu ha'elokim. Hashem is God. Hashem is God 7 times. How were you the next day? How did you act and daven on the 11th of Tishrei? And what about the 12th? And what about the 13th? Were you the same as you were in that moment of dire need, of Ne'ilah, calling out the Shema Yisrael and Hashem hu ha'elokim? Maybe not, says Rav Walby. But that doesn't mean your Yom Kippur wasn't genuine. It means that in life you have to connect experiences and grow from them. That's the challenge and that's the test. The Jewishness, the pintel yid, the spark of Amunah, comes out no matter how far away a person is. And when it emerges, it's genuine. It's not a show, it's not a farce, it's not a play. We really have it all inside of us. Sometimes, though, it's just so covered up by schmutz that we forget who we are and where we're supposed to be. But it doesn't mean it's not genuine in the times when it does emerge. And that's how we can have a principle, a law of Chazal, Kofin Oso Adcha Omer Rotzani. How could you force someone to do something they don't want to do and then you accept it as valid? They didn't want to do it. They really did want to do it. The I didn't want to do it. But the essence of God within them, which is Ratzon Hashem, did want to. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in this week's parasha, in Parshas Nitzavim. Let me screen share. I have it here. Could you see it's Devarim Perek Lamed? So right at the end of Devarim Perek Lamed, Parshas Nitzavim, these are the last psukim that we read right before Rosh Hashanah. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you see, Joanna said you could see, Lamed Tesvav, Re'ein Asati Lefanecha Yom Esachayim V'esatov V'esamavis V'esara. We have a choice. See, I place before you today the life and the good, the death and the bad. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to go in all of his ways. Every Jew wants to go in the ways of Hashem. We don't want to be led astray. 3 categories of commandments. Guard the mitzvos, the chukim and mishpatim. V'chayisa, so you will live. V'ravisa, so you will be rove, multiplied, many. And Hashem will bless you in the land where you are going to take possession of it. V'im yifne levavcha v'lo tishma. It's hard. Sometimes your heart turns and you don't listen and you are pushed astray and you worship gods of others and you bow down to them. You know, sometimes we think there's no Avodah Zarah. I'm not pasuking halachically. I'm talking about hashkafically. Halachically, I have no idea. Oh, we're not running after dolls. We're not bowing down to statues. That's not us. There are other ways of worshiping foreign powers, foreign elements, that society worships. again, I don't know if it's a halachic definition of avodah zarah, but it's certainly hashkafek. Avodah zarah means foreign service, foreign worship. We live in a society where certain elements, groups, things are lauded and glorified as gods. And our heart sometimes turns astray. We could say, oh, I'm not running after dolls. I'm not doing Baal Par. That's disgusting. Who would do Baal Par? I'm not doing the Molech. Who would put their children through the bonfire? I'm not worshiping on a Sheva tree. You think I'm dancing around the tree? I'm not doing any of these things. There are other forms of foreign worship that turns our hearts away from God. Even today. Higadati lachem hayom ki avod tovedim. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I tell you today, you will be surely lost. Your days will not be lengthened upon the land where you are crossing the Jordan to go take possession of it. Ha'idosi b'chem hayom es ha'shamayim v'esarts. I call the heavens and the earth to bear testimony today. Ha'chayim v'hamavis nasati lefanecha. We each have a choice. Before us is chayim and mavis, life and death. Before us, like you saw up here, is chayim and tov, good and life, mavis and ra. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, you have bechira. Make sure that the will of God is what you choose. I place before you today habracha v'haklala, excuse me, blessing and curse. Uvacharta b'chayim, choose. Ritzoneinu, says our Sefer, la'asot ritzonecha. Of course we all want to do what you want. But sometimes we become confused. Moshe says, uvacharta, you have to make a choice. We are not, you know, I was driving today in Atlantic Beach, and every fall I see it. There are monarch butterflies. It must be somehow along their migration route. It's so beautiful. There's not so many of them. There's pollution. There's erosion. We cut down their trees, whatever. I don't mean whatever in a bad way. It's sad. It's sad what mankind does to Hashem's natural world. But there are still some noticeable amount of monarch butterflies in Atlantic Beach every fall. And it's so nice, it's so beautiful, but they don't have a choice to go there or not to go there. They just go because that's the path that their ancestors have taken. It's pre-programmed inside of them. But we all have a choice. We need to force ourselves, kofin oso, force yourself, ad sheomer, until you say, rotzeani, I want. Because ritzoneinu laso ritzonech. Actually, I want to get something. One second. Only if I could find it very quickly, I'm going to tell it to you. But if I can't find it very quickly, then I'm not going to take the time. Yeah, I found it very quickly. I'm quoting from the Sefer, before Hashem, you shall be purified. Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik on the days of awe. Okay. The shofar, says the Rav, addresses itself to the split personality of the sinner. What does it mean, a split personality? Do we all have split personalities in the medical sense? No. We all have a split personality in the spiritual sense. We all have our I, capital I, my ratzon, I want, I need, I feel, I have, I think, I do, I go, I desire. And then we all have another part of ourselves where we understand that there is no ratzon of I, but there's the ratzon of Hashem. God wants, God demands, God desires, God needs, so to speak, God requires. So we're split. We're split between my ratzon, what I want, and God's ratzon, what God wants, what God desires and demands. Says Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, the shofar therefore addresses itself to the split personality of the sinner. The pure part of the personality, the neshama tahora shenasata bi, the pure neshama you placed within me, the pure part of the personality provides reproof, while the impure part listens. Salvechik is saying that the tokeya, I skipped mamish to 1.5 paragraphs from the end of this piece. The tokeya, the blower, who's the tokeya and who's the shomeya? We are all the tokeya. And we're all the shomer. The tokei is the blower and the shomer is the listener. We're all both. We play a dual role. The tokeia is the pure part of the personality that is calling out to, giving a musr shmuz to, blasting the impure part of self, which is the listener. The shofar therefore adjusts itself to the split personality of the sinner. The pure part of this personality provides reproof, while the impure part listens. In effect, the shofar tells the person. The sinner can only speak in the name of a portion of the personality, not the whole person, because the whole person is split in half right now. Before teshuva, we're split in half. There's the I, and there's God's will. Teshuva should bring us to the point where there's only God's will. We remove the sinful part. So the shofar is calling out to you. You're calling out to yourself. You have two halves, and the tokeya is the pure part. The yetzer tov, and it's called the ratzon Hashem, and it's calling out to the yetzer hara, the I part, the part that is not doing the ratzon Hashem. The message of the shofar, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, that the impure side of the person does not represent the entirety of the individual, is part of what the Rambam calls the story of exodus from sin. So we have to recognize that when we have an impure part, we all have an impure part. There's only four people, the Gemara says, who didn't never sinned. Four people in the history of the world who never sinned. Amram, Binyamin, Yishai Avi David, and Kalev, the son of David. That's it. It's in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, by the way. I forget right now the daf, the Amr. There's only four people who never sinned. Okay, so everybody has an impure part and a not pure and a pure part. And the impure part, the Shomeya, listens to the Musar speech, the shofar blast of the pure part, the Tokeya. And that's the message of the shofar. But the shofar is telling us, you have a pure part. You have a pure side of yourself. The impure side of the person does not represent the totality of the individual. You're not only the Shomer, you're also the Tzokei. You're not only impure, you're also pure. You don't only have your Ratzon, you have God's Ratzon. And the Rambam calls this a story of exodus from sin. In one of his recorded letters, the Rambam draws an analogy between teshuvah, repentance, which he calls exodus from sin, and the exodus from Egypt. Maybe that's why, before we blow shofar, I just thought of something. That's why one of the psukim we say is, min ha-meitzar karasi ka, anani ba-merchav ka, min ha-meitzar, Mitzrayim. Yeah. Each of the following verses, after we recite Kapitel Mem Zayin of Tehillim seven times, there's a series of verses recited by the Tokeya and then the congregation. Really, you're the Tokeya and the Shomea. You're pure and you're impure. You have a Yetzar Tov and a Yetzar, right? You call out to yourself. The first of these verses, Min HaMetzar Karasika, from the straits, from the narrow places, I call out to you, God. Anani Bamerchavka, answer me in a broadened space. Sin is constricting. Answer me in a broad space. Let me repent. Let me be free of sin. Let me move out of this narrow street to a broad expanse. It's very interesting. Min ha-meitzar. Meitzar is the exact same word as Mitzrayim. So it's extremely interesting that the Rambam calls teshuva an exodus from sin. The first pasuk we recite right before shofar, which is the tokeya calling to the shomeya, i.e. my pure side calling to my sinful side, we remind ourselves, min ha-meitzar karasika, right now as a sinner, I am in the prison of Egypt, min ha-meitzar, Mitzrayim, I am in narrow straits. But with the blast of the shofar and the process of repentance, anani, answer me, God, ba-merchav, widen for me, broaden for me. So it's a clear allusion, a reference right here. It's a pasuk from Tehillim that's included in Halal. So the Rambam writes in one of his recorded letters, there's an analogy between teshuva, the exodus from sin, and the exodus from Egypt. In this conception, the person is a slave to the sinful aspect of his personality. But he is free in the pure part of his personality, and that's why teshuva is possible. Because teshuva is redemption, says Rabbi Soloveitchik. If we were totally sullied, if there was nothing pure left inside of us, that's why Hashem would take us out of Egypt before we fell to the 50th level. Otherwise, redemption would not have been possible. But today, there's no one who falls to the absolute abyss that can't come back up. If you fell into the absolute abyss, then tshuva wouldn't be possible. Tshuva remains possible because every Jew can say every single morning, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tahorehi. Every Jew, no matter what you did yesterday, you screamed at your kids, you were rude to the lady in the grocery store, you cut somebody off while you were driving, nobody wants to be around such a person, but let's say this is how you behaved yesterday, you spoke Lashon Hara, I don't know, you skipped davening because you thought you were too busy, whatever. You didn't ask the Rav Ashaya because you couldn't be bothered. It sounds like a terrible day, but let's say that's what happened. Ha ha! I'm going to say something, Jodikovsky. Some days are like that, even in Australia. So let's say you had a day like that. You could still wake up in the morning and say, hello, Kaineshama Shonasata be Tahora. How could you say that? Yesterday you were full of sin. Everything you did was a sin. You were rude to your husband. You didn't ask a shayah about basar b'chalav in the kitchen because you couldn't be bothered. You snapped at the bus driver. You were rude to your kids. You were impatient. You didn't bother davening. How could you say, "Alo kai neshama shana satabi tohorei"? It doesn't say in the sitter. If you're a tzaddik, you say this. And if you're a sinner, you don't say it. This is what you say. It's based on Maseches Brachos Samech. I think. The first time we have the Quran text of, I think, it's a Maseches Brachos Samech. How could you say in the morning, my God, the soul you put in into me is pure? Because there's two parts. You're a split personality. On the one hand, you're a sinner. But on the other hand, you're a pure person. And when we undergo the process of teshuvah, it's an exodus, says the Rambam, from sin. Min ha-meitzar karasika, just like the Yidden left Egypt. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Dayenu, Zman Cheroseinu. That's what parallels during this time period of the Saras Yimei Teshuvah. We also have Yitzias Mitzrayim, Mitzarim. Min ha-meitzar, anani ba-merchav. We go from a narrow strait to a wide expanse. Why is it possible? Because there's a pure side of yourself. In this conception, the person is a slave, says the Rav, to the sinful aspect of his personality. But Teshuvah is the redemption. Just as on Pesach, we engage in the story of telling the Exodus from Egypt. On Rosh Hashanah, we engage in telling the story of Exodus from sin. How do we tell the story in Rosh Hashanah? What is the vehicle, the medium that we use to tell the story of Exodus from sin? It's the shofar. By the way, Minametzer Krasia Anani Barmerchavya, this idea that you start in a narrow street and end in a wide expanse was not my own thought. I read it many years ago from Rav Avi Mitzchak Kohen Cook. While I'm speaking and telling you this piece by the Rav, I remember that's one of the psukim we say right before shofar. Rav Cook actually says, he adds on to that, that the shape of the shofar itself represents his journey. Because the mouthpiece of the shofar is very narrow. It's a very small opening. That represents min ha-meitzar karasika. In my straits, in my constricted place, when the Yetzer squeezes me and I'm so small because of sin. And then with teshuvah, anani b'merchavka, how does the shofar, the physical, I'm talking about the physical shape of the shofar. Rav Cook speaks about this physical shape of the shofar as being an analogy to a person's repentance. You begin in a narrow strait, a tiny constricted space because the Yetzer backs you into a corner and you're surrounded by sin. But with the process of teshuvah represented in the shofar, you end in a wide expanse. And the shofar's mouth, no, the mouthpiece is small, but the other end is very wide and broad. The medium through which the story is told is the shofar. The shofar is, v'higadot ha-labincha, v'yamahu leymar, v'avurza, asar shem li b'tzeisim mitzrayim. Tell your son, because of my capacity to repent, because part of my neshama is pure. Hashem took me out from Mitzarim, the straits of sin. On Pesach, you use your mouth, the peh, Kol Amar B'Lesaper HaReza Meshubach. And during this time period of the Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, we use the shofar as the medium for telling the story of the Exodus, says the Rav. The message to the sinner, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, is that there is an inner pure part of his personality. And yes, you might be in exile, but redemption is possible. The sinner is acting as a false witness. Listen to this. Soloveitchik says, the sinner is acting as a false witness if he represents himself as the entire individual. If the sinner represents that I am the entirety of this individual, he's acting as a false witness. Because he is not the entirety of this individual. The entirety of this individual is two parts. The sinful part and the pure part. The pure part can always, always redeem itself from the clutches of sin. And that, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the shofar, the message of the shofar. You are both the tokeya and the shomeya. The pure part of yourself is the tokeya, the blower. The sinful part of yourself is the shomeya, the listener. And through the medium of shofar, we move from meitzar, narrow point, represented by the mouth part, to a wide point of redemption represented by the end of the shofar, says Rav Kook. And don't forget, I said it last day this year, that shofar means beautification. It's Shemos Perak Al Pasuk Tesvav. The name of the Mialdo was Shifra. And Rashi says, Shemisha Peret et Havalad. She beautified the infant, beautified the child. So this whole process beautifies us. And we make sure that the sinful part of ourself is kicked out, so to speak, by the pure part of self. It's so beautiful. Rav Salvechik says, the Torah never accepted the dictum that the body is intrinsically impure. On the contrary, man strives towards sanctification of the body. Judaism desires that man be internally consistent without conflict or contradiction. And that's the tafkid of the shofar, that we should be consistent. We should be a cohesive soul, cohesive whole inside of ourselves. And this is the message of Teshuvah. And so Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going back here to Devarim Perek Lamed, Ubacharta b'chayim, make a choice. Every day we wake up and we have to choose how we will behave this day. Sometimes we make choices and the Yetzer gets in the way, but at least you have to have a battle plan. Ubacharta b'chayim l'man tichya ata v'zarecha. Choose life so that you will live, you and your seed, you and your progeny. La'havas Hashem Elkecha, to the love Lord your God, l'shmo b'kol, to listen to his voice, u'ledav kabot, to cling to him, ki hu chayecha v'orachimecha. Because Torah, ahavas Hashem, the Ribbono Shel Olam, teshuva, mitzvos, are your life and the length of your days. And we have to decide what our choices are and what our choices are. What our choices are every day. And we have to try very hard that it is the tokeya part that has the upper hand and the shomeya part that is subdued and listening to the musar speech of the Baal Tokeya, which is each one to ourselves. The soul, going back to the author, the reason I didn't stop screen sharing is because I want to take you back up to Pasuk Vav, okay? But I'm just going to read a little bit from the Sefer. The soul is inherently bound up with God's will. The soul is bound up with God's will. That's because it comes from Hashem. And even the will of the eye, what I want, is a garment over Hashem's will. Your eye will is a garment over Hashem's will. Deep down, the eye, which superficially wants material things and even wants forbidden things, is only a covering over Hashem's will. It's not part of yourself. The part of yourself that chases after materialism, I'm not talking about necessary things to survive, okay? Like the clothing you need to wear and the food you need to eat and the house over your roof over your head. The part of yourself that chases after excess materiality, what a chazal say in Perkei Avos, mar ben achasim, mar ben da'aga. The more you possess, the more possessions you have, the more you're going to worry. And the desire to do sinful things, that's just a cover. Deep down, the eye is only covering Hashem's will. And I was thinking that it relates very much to this pasuk in this week's parasha, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Vav. We began at the end of the perek, but now we go back up to the beginning of the perek. And the pasuk says, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Vav, Umal Hashem Elokech es levavcha ve'es levav zarecha. Hashem, your God, will circumcise your heart and the heart of your progeny, your children. La'havas Hashem Elokecha, to love the Lord your God, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'chol nafshcha, with all your soul, l'man chayecha, so you shall live. So here we have this concept of milah, but not bris milah like Parshas Tazria, Perek Beis of Vayikra. Milah of the heart, circumcision of the heart. This is the removal of what we call timtum halev and tumas halev. Timtum halev, the blockage that is covering the heart, and tumas halev, the impurity over the heart. And that's what the author reminds me of. He says that your eye, which chases after material things and forbidden things, is a covering over Hashem's will. What is necessary to repent? The pasuk tells you right here. You have to remove the foreskin of the heart, the blockage of the heart, the covering over God's will. Umal Hashem Elkecha Suvavcha Vesuvav Zarecha. I've said it in Shiram, and I'm sure you've heard it before, from me, from others. Esluvavcha Vesuvav. If someone by chance is not familiar with this, this is Rosh Tevos Elov. Eslavavcha ve'eslavav, alf lamed vav lamed, says the Baal HaTurim here, this is Roshei Tevos Elol. So the tafkid of Elol is to make sure that you remove the blockage and the covering, the foreskin of the heart, so you could come back to God. And that's exactly what the author is telling us. that is just a covering, what the eye wants. It's not really who you are. Really who you are is the Ribono Shel Olam spark inside of you. But it becomes covered up. And there's a mashal. I don't remember where I read it. But it's not my own mashal. Like a kerosene lamp. Kerosene? Kerosene? K-E-R-S-O-N-E in the olden days. So you used to have the flame in the middle and the lantern on the outside, but it gave off a lot of soot, a lot of dirt. And the longer it burned, the blacker and darker and dirtier the walls of the lantern became. And they become so dark that you wouldn't even see the flame inside if you don't clean the walls of a lantern. It doesn't mean the flame's not burning. The flame happens to be burning, but you can't see it anymore. It's covered up by a darkness that's not visible, only because of the dirt, the residue. And that's a mashal of what happens to us. It doesn't mean the pintel yet is not inside. It doesn't mean every Jew doesn't want to do Hashem's will. We all want to do Hashem's will. But it means the layers and the soot, the kerosene, covers up, covers up, covers up, till you can't see it. But if you circumcise the heart, if you have an exodus from sin, if you cleanse the walls from the kerosene lamp, and you recognize that the tokeya is giving a mesur spus to the shomeya, it is possible once again to do Ratzon Hashem. So going back to our author, if so, the human personality is made up of three levels or layers. We have three levels and three layers. Deep down, there is Hashem's will. In every single one of us, deep down, there's Hashem's will. Covering that is the will of the eye to do Hashem's will. So you have God's will. Imagine, like, I don't know, a walnut. You have the inner part, and then you have a cover. Or even more, a peach. That's much better. Because a peach, if you ever open the peach pit, what you see is the pit, it's not really the pit. It's a covering of the pit. If you open it, you'll see the actual pit inside. There's the pit, there's the covering of the pit, which you think is the pit, and then there's the outer part. That's three layers. So there are three levels or three layers. Deep down, there's Hashem's will. Covering, that's the will of the eye to do Hashem's will. And covering that is the will to oppose Hashem's will, chas v'sham. So the first cover could not be in opposition to God's will, but it's your will, not God's will. So for example, going back to everything you spoke about food, there's Hashem's will, you should be healthy. There's your will, I want to eat two sufganiyot. That's not in contradiction to God's will, it's just your will. And then there is the will to go against Hashem's will, chas v'sham, which is probably eating 10 sufganiyot in a sitting, because that's no longer mishmartim b'adon nafsho sechem, and that's no longer being healthy. So there's actually three layers, the level of Ratzon Hashem, the level of the Ratzon of I, and then the level of the Yetzer Hara's Ratzon, which is going against God's will. And that's what Moshe said, klala maves ra, curse, death, bad. The innermost layer is chayim, Tov and Bracha, life, blessing, and good. You cannot jump from your improper will to Hashem's will. You have to go in stages. You can't do something enormous and thinking you're all the way at the exterior, you're going to get all the way to the interior in one fell swoop. You must first traverse the intermediate stage in which there is the I, and you have to make your I want to do Hashem's will. There's three levels. The outer one, that's the sinful. The level of what do I want, and then God's will. So the first tafkid is to move, he says, from the outer will of the Yetzer Hara, bad, sin, chas v'sham, to getting the I to do what God wants. It's still your will. That's an outer layer. But it's your will to do Hashem's will. You make your will into God's will. And that's a higher madriga, of course, than the will on the outside, which wants to do sin, which wants to do contrary to God's will. And the only way that this happens is through milas halev. Umal Hashem elkech eslovavcha. When you show Hashem you want to do teshuva, the first psukim of Perek Lamed speak all about doing teshuva. V'shavta ad Hashem elkecha. So you see that the Torah is telling you, when you return unto the Lord your God, that's Perek Beis, v'shavta ad Hashem elkecha v'shamata b'cholo k'choni b'sher anochi mitzavcha hayam. When you come back to Hashem, the result will be the matana, that he will circumcise your heart. He will help you. Because the Gemara tells us in Yuma, it's either Lamed Ches or Lamed Tes. Ba'al letar mesayin oso. He who wants to purify himself, he will be helped. We need to return unto the Lord God, v'shavdar Hashem al-kecha. And then, umal Hashem al-kecha suvavcha v'eslavav zarecha l'man chayecha. He will circumcise our heart and remove the blockage. So one of the machshavas we could have when we hear shofar, it's a very powerful machshava, is to remember that every person is a split personality. Think, when you say the pasuk, on Aleph Tishrei, in a couple of days, 5783, min ha-meitzar karasika, think about this year. Anani b'merchavka, think that you are having a yetzias mitzrayim. You're in a very narrow strait. You're held captive and prisoner, enslaved by the HR. But tshuva is possible because of the uncorrupted core and the inner essence of every person that never sins. And our journey is the journey of the shofar. And the shofar is the vehicle to tell over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim from sin. I said I was going to finish the chapter. I really hope I said Bli Neder. Did I say Bli Neder? Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Be'ezras Hashem, we'll continue next week, which is the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, Tafshin Pei Gimel. And then after that, we're on break. After Sukkos, we resume in person and Zoom. May Amakei Halev, I wish each and every one of you and your families, whether you are in Lakewood, Malki Sultan, or you are in Westchester, Joanna, or Esti Klein in Brooklyn, or Jody Kofsky, all the way from Australia, or those more local like Lawrence and Vladimir, I wish you all and your families a kasiva v'chasima tova, a gukka ben shtir, a shana tova u'mesuka, yamale Hashem, kol mishalus libchem, letova, and we hope and we daven that the neshama of Miriam Frod, Miriam Reschaim Yitzchak, Shavan Aliyah, she should be a milito yoshar for all of us who take the time to participate in these divrei Torah l'zeichen neshmasa, and we wish the Frod family a shana tova u'mesuka. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful and uplifting Yom Tov. Kol Tov, and thank you so much to all.